Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here for the next, 3 days this week, 2 days next week, folks. You're not going to want to miss any of these shows. It's your favorite guest host taking phone calls. As Governor Gianforte said, I like to let the callers loose. So that's what we'll be doing here, 406-294-0970. Something's been really bothering me lately, which is how nobody's really talking about the fact that the American government is not doing anything to rescue the hostages held by Hamas or to avenge this recent murder of an American. And it's just mind-blowing to me. Like, what? And this is a bigger piece of the Biden-Harris tester policy that they've really changed over the years. And I know folks, maybe folks don't consider it to be an important issue about whether that issue being, what does the U.S. government do to help American people overseas who find themselves in tough situations? Historically, it's always been, that's one of the main reasons we have a federal government, having a military, et cetera, but also having a diplomatic presence, having embassies, having consulates to where our government can help you if you're in another country and something bad. The Biden-Harris tester regime has totally changed that, whether it was in Ukraine, whether it was in Afghanistan, whether it's in Gaza. They just have completely abandoned Americans overseas. And I was watching the Sunday shows, and it was disturbing to see on the mainstream media, I think it was particularly ABC News with George Stephanopoulos. Of course, it was this scumbag Jonathan Carl was in this weekend, but they were asking the Israeli ambassador, hey, is the American government doing enough? Is the American government doing enough to help get these hostages back and to do this? And he's, of course, like, he has to, you know, play nice. And say, but my question is, you need to ask the American people. Why don't you ask the American people, is the American government doing enough to rescue these hostages? I personally think absolutely not. This should have been, why is only Israel fighting Hamas right now? Hamas murdered and captured Americans. Hamas committed a terrorist attack against Americans on October 7th. Hamas is a terrorist organization holding Americans hostage underground in holes for almost a year. It's almost a year later, and Americans have been held in a hole in the ground, in tunnels underground, in tunnels dug by terrorists, radical Islamic terrorists, and we've done nothing? We've done absolutely nothing? To me, that's unacceptable. And why? And nobody's talking about it either. It's just an outrage to me. And, you know, maybe I'll ask Tim Sheehy about it today during the 9 o'clock hour. Maybe I'll ask Senator Tom Cotton about it here during the 9 o'clock hour. You folks are not going to want to miss the 9 o'clock hour here in studio, here in Billings. We're going to have Tim Sheehy and Senator Tom Cotton in the House. And I'm going to ask him, why on earth is nobody else talking about the fact that we have a radical Muslim terrorist group that has captured Americans and is holding them in a hole in the ground, and we're not doing anything to rescue them or hold these terrorists accountable? Oh, it's all just on Israel, I guess. Unbelievable.
Securing America.
Monday, two Marines serving aboard the USS Wasp were attacked in the western Turkey town of Izmir by Turkish nationalists belonging to the Turkish Youth Union, Pentagon Press Secretary Major General Patrick Rodder.
This is clearly a troubling incident.
Videos posted to social media show a plastic bag being thrown over the head of one of the Marines while the crowd shouted, "Yankee, go home."
The two Marines are safe. They were aided by other Marines in the area and subsequently taken to a local hospital for evaluation as a precaution, but were not injured.
15 Turks were arrested following the incident, however.
No Marines have been detained by authorities, and those involved are cooperating with investigators.
While Ryder gave credit to the American service members.
Certainly very proud of the professionalism of our service members, and most importantly, that they're safe.
Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So I just had to get that off my chest, talking about why nobody's talking about the fact that the government is doing nothing to help these Americans that are literally being held in a tunnel underground in a hole dug by radical Islamic terrorists. And we're just that. No. And not only are we not even, not only are we just sort of, I guess we're just counting on Israel to help the Americans. I guess we're just relying on Israel to avenge the hostage and murder of Americans in Gaza. We're just leave it up to Israel. And then Biden administration, the Tester Harris regime, not fully supporting Israel, in actuality actually taking Hamas's position. Hamas is demanding a ceasefire right now. And guess what Kamala Harris and Tester are doing? Demanding a ceasefire, pressuring Israel. Imagine you've got a legitimate democracy government, a legitimate government that is elected, et cetera, in Israel, one of our greatest allies. And then you've got radical Islamic terrorists on the other side, and you've got the Democrats in our country focusing all of their anger and attacks and their pressure campaign on Israel instead of the terrorists. It's unbelievable to me. Hey, Democrats, maybe if you're going to make demands on one of the parties to this situation, maybe make the demand on Hamas instead of focusing all of your attacks on Israel. It's just one of these things that just really bugs me. And then, of course, the Democrats are actually out there acting as if, oh, no, we have done something. And this is what they've done, guys. They've filed criminal charges against the Hamas leader. Ooh, oh my gosh. In the United States, they filed criminal charges against, who's this jerk? Yahya Sinwar? Sinwar, this Hamas leader who's murdered dozens of Americans in Israel. Oh, here we are. A couple of months before the 2024 election, 2 months before the 2024 election, and now suddenly the Democrats, they've filed criminal charges against Yahya Sinwar, whatever this guy's name is. Merrick Garland announced the federal charges. The decision-making so apparently they filed these charges back in February, but they were waiting until now. They were waiting until right before the election to disclose that they filed these criminal charges against these Hamas dirtbags. The decision-making changed once, and then, of course, Politico, being the piece of trash that it is, just, stenographers for the state. Oh, the U.S. officials were not going to publicize these charges, but then their decision-making changed once Hamas's Ismail Haniyeh was assassinated, an American hostage. Hirsch Goldberg was killed. Sure, Democrats and political. These recent events, they just changed our position and they changed our analysis. So now we're going to publicly disclose that we filed criminal charges against Yahya Sinwar. Give me a break. No, you were always planning to publicize it right now. How stupid do they think we are? But the reality is, of course, what we've got going on over there is really not just a criminal issue. Now, I agree Hamas are criminals. They ought to be prosecuted. But this is also war. This is not just some local, criminal, like prosecutorial issue for the local prosecutor. No, this is war. They've got they've murdered a bunch of Americans. They're holding Americans hostage underground. Nobody cares, I guess. I mean, am I the only one that cares about this? Check this out, folks. Okay, so Walter Russell Mead is this fantastic academic. He wrote an article that was published in Foreign Affairs this week. It's an academic journal that I learned about when I was studying international relations, getting my major in international relations at the University of Montana. Started reading Foreign Affairs. Of course, it's a left-wing publication. But what I like about Foreign Affairs is they will run conservative pieces. So, for example, I think the last edition they had a piece on what America's foreign policy should be written by Obama's national security advisor, and then they had right next to it a piece on what American foreign policy should be written by Trump's national security advisor. So they run stuff like that, and this recent one by Walter Russell Mead was so good because it really defined Hamiltonian foreign policy and really tied it into Trump's foreign policy in a way that I hadn't ever thought of before, and also defined patriotism in a way that I hadn't really thought about expressly. And so what Walter Russell Mead talks about is how a Hamiltonian foreign policy really, you know, sort of emphasizes three things. Number one, recognizing the importance of the American economy and American business for purposes of American foreign policy and promoting that. Number two, creating a sort of a stable financial system with low debt and a stable financial system to allow the economy to do well. And then three is patriotism, basically. And the way that he defined patriotism, I think, is really interesting. He defined patriotism as basically meaning that if you're patriotic, that means that you place the interests of the American people above the interests of foreigners. Okay, and then he kind of talks about it. It's like, think about it this way, right? Like, you do different things for your family than you do for random people. You owe certain duties to your family that you don't owe to everybody else. You may owe certain duties and do things for your community or your city or your town that you don't do for everybody else. Same with the state, same with the country. And so when it comes to patriotism and defining patriotism, that means that we do care. I do care about American citizens more than I care about non-citizens. That's patriotism, and that's got to be fundamental to our foreign policy. America first, baby. Let's go.
I'm Evan Brown. September is National Suicide Prevention Month, and both firearm owners' rights groups as well as gun safety advocates are once again urging firearm owners to be proactive in securing their firearms when not in use in hopes of preventing self-harm. Second Amendment advocates are known for their insistence on lawful and safe ownership and use of firearms, and that means a renewed urging of gun owners to lock up their guns when not in use, especially when children are present in the home. While teaching kids to respect and properly use guns may be a parent in choice, parents should never let children handle firearms without supervision. There are lockable cabinets and boxes, even ones that lock biometrically, and some that send notifications to your phone if someone is trying to open them without authorization. Plus, many local gun clubs offer free trigger or cable locks. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Man, it is so obvious to spot the liberal media bias here in Montana. They never ask liberal Senator John Tester any tough questions. They never hold him accountable. Yet they do this phony press release reporting for any fake news he wants to pump out there. Hey, I'll tell you what, Montana Talks, go to the Montana Talks website. Go download the Montana Talks app because we're going to deliver the stories they refuse to tell. MontanaTalks.com. Download the Montana Talks app on your phone.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, when the Department of Defense added a multi-multi-million-dollar line item to the national defense budget to feed lab-grown meat to our service men and women, it certainly made waves, especially in cattle country. With more, here's our network's Rachel Gable.
Although the Department of Defense has since announced they will not be pursuing lab-grown protein projects for human consumption, Nebraska Governor Jim Pillen is ensuring the Husker State is proactive. Pillen is a hog man, a veterinary practitioner, and he said the first Nebraska governor from production agriculture in a century.
My position is really simple. We're sure as heck not going to do that in Nebraska. So number one, we did an executive order to make sure that we, the state, don't do the silly things, the DOD, what can happen in bureaucracy. So we've made sure that no state agency is going to be doing anything with buying, subsidizing lab-grown meat or fake meat. We've also got our Department of Agriculture assessing all rules and making sure there's no mislabeling, calling lab-grown protein meat of any kind. And then lastly, we're going to be doing priority legislation and come January to make sure there's none of that product in grocery stores in Nebraska.
The governor said it's important that those of us in agriculture take the time to brag about and explain what we do to feed the world.
Agriculture drives the economy of our country, and the nidus of agriculture is livestock. If we don't have livestock, all the hay and corn and soybeans and everything, what do you do with that? No, there's one thing that's not changing. There's a lot of changes in the world, but the one thing that doesn't change is we all want to eat three times a day. There's nobody that can compete with us.
For the Fence Post Magazine and Western Ag Network, I'm Rachel Gable.
All right, thanks a lot, Rachel. Now, organizations like NCBA said several members of Congress helped to prevent lab-grown meat from finding its way to the plates of our U.S. troops, including Nebraska Congressman Don Bacon, Wyoming Senator Cynthia Lummis, and Senator Deb Fisher from Nebraska. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Cattle producers, Montana Livestock Auctions, cream of the crop sale is this Friday, September 6th in Ramsey. And early consignments include a nice run of both calves and yearlings. So whether you still have cattle to market or you're in the market for some high-quality feeder cattle, Montana Livestock Auction is the place to be this Friday. To check out the cream of the crop consignments already on the books, visit MontanaLivestockAuction.com. Again, it's Montana Livestock Auction's cream of the crop sale this Friday, September 6th in Ramsey.
Join the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. NCBA is the oldest and largest national cattle industry organization working to defend your interests in Washington, D.C. And there are big benefits to being a member. You get news you can use in the National Cattlemen, email updates in the NCBA Beef Bulletin, plus big discounts only for NCBA members. Join by calling 866-233-3872 or online at ncba.org.
Well, unfortunately, anthrax has been confirmed in multiple beef cattle herds in Carbon County, Wyoming, the first confirmed anthrax in the Cowboy State since the 1970s. Now, clinical signs of anthrax in livestock include sudden death, weakness, staggering, difficulty breathing, fever, and bloody diarrhea. The Wyoming Livestock Board says it'll continue to work with producers and private veterinarians to reduce further spread and limit human exposure through recommendations for carcass disposal and vaccination. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So anyway, this Hamiltonian foreign policy that Walter Russell Mead wrote about recently talks about how the Hamiltonian foreign policy vision comes down to recognizing the importance of the U.S. economy and the U.S. business interests in terms of American foreign policy. And America can't have a strong foreign policy without a strong business community. Number two, patriotism, which Hamilton and Mead describe as simply placing the interests and concerns of the American citizen above anybody else. And he talks about how, look, with your own family, obviously you feel obligations and do things to help your family and to benefit your family that you don't do just for any random citizen. It's the same with your city, your community, your neighborhood. Frankly, like even my next door neighbors, you know, I will do things for my next door neighbors and develop relationships with them that I don't feel the need to do for other people. And so there's this whole notion of how basically we sort of, you know, it's not, there's this, what it's pushing back against is the leftist idea, the Democrat idea, that we should basically, we're all citizens of the world. We're citizens of the world. You know, we shouldn't think of each other as, you know, being a different, you know, nationalities or anything like that. Everybody's, you know, should be, we shouldn't care about Americans more than anybody else, et cetera, et cetera. We're all humans. And there's obviously some truth to that. Incidentally, actually, the truth of all men being created equal actually comes from Christianity in the Bible. Don't let the left or the Democrats know that. They won't like to hear that. But the idea being still that look, when it comes to foreign policy, especially, you know, and when it comes to government policy in general, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, treating everybody equally on an individual level. Of course, that's the case in terms of, you know, basically treating people with kindness and respect, you know, not discriminating against people, et cetera, et cetera. That's all fine and dandy on an individual level. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about government policy. We're talking about foreign policy. When it comes to government policy, Walter Russell Mead and Alexander Hamilton described a patriotic foreign policy and a patriotic government policy as one that places the interests of the American people above anything else. It's essentially America first. And it was so interesting to see an academic like Walter Russell Mead publish in an academic journal, basically an academic piece showing how the Trump foreign policy really can trace its roots all the way back to Alexander Hamilton and the Hamiltonian vision for foreign policy. And then, of course, the final piece of it was enlightened realism, which is some sort of, you know, the Democrat foreign policy is this liberal internationalism where, you know, oh, everybody's wonderful, just let's all join the UN and we'll just be peaceful if everybody joins the UN and the WTO. And then realism is just sort of hardcore real politic, you know, only, you know, very realistic, just hard number. Enlightened realism is the third piece of the Hamiltonian vision. The only reason I bring up this whole piece about the Hamiltonian vision for a foreign policy and how it's connected to Trump's America First foreign policy is because it's tied to the rant that I went on during the first segment, which is about how absurd and ridiculous it is that the Biden-Harris tester regime is doing nothing to help the Americans that are being held hostage by these radical Islamic terrorists in Gaza and is doing nothing to avenge the murder of the American that was just recently shot by these terrorists. And the reality is that Trump's America First policy is that's simple. That's literally like America First is a definition of patriotism. Putting America's interests first, that's patriotism. And it's like, I don't care about when it comes to government foreign policy, we need to be what is best for the American citizen and not just any random person in the United States. And I'm not talking about just the federal government foreign policy either. I'm talking about city policy. I'm talking about county policy. I'm talking about state policy. All government policy at every level should place the interests of the American citizen first and implement policies that benefit the American citizen at the expense of anybody else. Period. That's patriotism. That's America first. Anyway, I'll be done with that. We're not lighting up the phones with this sort of academic discussion here. 406-294-0970 if you want to be on the show. 406-294-0970. Apparently, Kamala Harris is not reiterating her past support for reparations for black people. This is right in Politico playbook this morning. Advocates for reparations to black people are hopeful that Harris's past support for reparations from her 2020 presidential bid will hold up. The Washington Post talking about how, oh, everybody is so hopeful. We really, really hope that Kamala Harris still supports reparations. We know Kamala Harris has flip-flopped just like the flip-flop flat top. She's flip-flopped on every major issue from her 2020 campaign. We know that one. But maybe she'll stick with us on reparations. That's where we're at as a country, folks, is we've got the left and the Democrat Party really, really crossing their fingers and really, really hoping that Kamala Harris doesn't abandon her support for black reparations for black people, a.k.a. Let's just drive up inflation more, make all of us pay higher prices at the grocery store so the government can borrow more money from China to then force people that never owned slaves to pay people that never were slaves. Yeah, that's fair. That's the Democrat Party we all know and love here, the Tester Democrat Party. Has John Tester come out in support of reparations? Or is that one of those things where he'll tell you behind closed doors he supports reparations if you're a big money left wing dark money guy? I'm sure he'll tell you behind closed doors he supports it. But has Tester come out publicly supporting reparations for black people like Kamala Harris did in 2020?
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. It appears there will be a gubernatorial debate between incumbent Greg Gianforte and his Democratic challenger Ryan Bussey, although details are still lacking. As we reported last week, Gianforte had said he wouldn't debate Bussey because he wasn't a credible candidate because he hadn't publicly released his tax returns. That changed Tuesday with Bussey releasing his reports and a Gianforte campaign official telling MTN News the governor will now agree to a debate. Meanwhile, the latest reports show Bussey building up a financial head of steam as the governor's race enters the final weeks. Jason Laird has the numbers.
The Democrat challenger for Montana's governor's office is showing strong fundraising numbers. Ryan Bussey's campaign reported raising more than $525,000 during the previous quarter, which was from June to August. That number was nearly $200,000 more than what was reported by Gianforte's campaign. Despite a smaller fundraising number, campaign reports show that Gianforte still has roughly $500,000 more cash on hand than his challenger. Reporting for the Montana State News Network, I'm Jason Laird.
Billings police taking over the investigation of an accident Monday that resulted in the death of a pedestrian in the 2400 block of Central Avenue. Police say initially the 39-year-old driver had left the scene after striking the 51-year-old victim, but returned to flag down a Montana Highway Patrol trooper. They say the driver is cooperating with the investigation. With returning hot weather the second half of the week, there's not much relief in sight for firefighters, at least from the skies, with sunshine and warm temperatures now forecast to last into the weekend for most of the state. In fact, forecasters with the Northern Rockies Coordination Center are now expecting above normal fire potential for west central, southwest, and south central Montana for the entire month of September. That's driven by ongoing drought conditions, warmer temperatures helping dry out forests and fields. However, the forecast says all areas should be back to normal conditions by October. This is the Montana State News Network.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figuerella, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
All right, summer's over. Kids are back in school. Time to get to work, especially here in 2024. Man, it's crazy. Just a few short weeks left until Election Day. You're going to want to sound off on the big news of the day. You're going to want to tell folks all across Montana what's on your mind. And sometimes it's not always the big news of the day. Sometimes it's just the fun stuff, too. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. We take it statewide every Monday through Friday right here at 9 to 10.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here on Montana Talks. Open phones, 406-294-0970. If you want to be on the show, we're taking phone calls. Here we've got Goose in Anaconda. Goose, thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Hey, let's break the last 4 years down or so. So we start with getting out of Afghanistan with the worst military debacle in my lifetime, leaving $93 billion worth of high-grade weaponry to the biggest terrorist group on the planet. We gave up Bagram Air Force Base, which was probably the most strategic Air Force base on the planet, to China now. We then turn around and open our borders up for all them people to come across our borders. We go to war with oil and gas, so that rises inflation up tremendously, not to mention we then drain our strategic oil reserves, which is meant for war. And then we have complete chaos all across the globe and looking at World War III every day. Well, we've let in 60,000 foreign national Chinese fighting age guys into our country. You know, not to mention you're looking at all the stuff we're doing in our schools with CRT and the DEI crap and the transgender crap and the sexual transition crap and the abortion on demand crap. I just don't know how anybody with half a brain cell could vote Democrat right now. I mean, please someone help me on this one.
Well, I think the answer to that, Goose, is that the people that vote Democrat, they are being brainwashed by the mainstream media and by the government, and they're being tricked by all of the lies by the Democrats and the media. I mean, isn't that the simplest answer?
Yeah, I've definitely came to that conclusion. Well, that, I mean, and once you look into who runs most all of our media outlets across the world, you start looking into the Rothschilds and Rockefellers and the powerful Zionist Jewish powerful families. So you know, you start looking into Hollywood, same thing. It's kind of owned and controlled by them Zionists. So you know, that's a whole other topic. But you know, we might want to look into Israel a little more than we are, as far as you know, maybe how Jeffrey Epstein make all his money. Well, maybe it was our tax dollars that went over to Israel, that went over to Mossad, that went over to Jeffrey Epstein's hands, that then came back and blackmailed and did what he did to all of our politicians.
Thank you so much for the call. Your call reminds me of a really good piece Aaron Flint posted at MontanaTalks.com. Really just went through a laundry list of all of the just horrible, horrible policies from the Biden-Harris tester regime. Montana union guys are understandably ticked off this Labor Day. And it really is, Goose did a pretty good job of kind of just listing just a laundry list of things that have happened under Democrat control and what happens with Democrat policies. And it really is a disaster on all fronts. And you can really just tick them off like that. So let's start with the Keystone XL pipeline. Democrats came in, destroyed the Keystone XL pipeline. That's causing inflation. That destroyed jobs. They've destroyed the auto industry with the EV mandates, actually threatening union auto worker jobs. The hilarious thing, so check this out. I actually had one of my friends on Twitch tell me last night that he recently went to see the Hummer EVs, and the Hummer EVs cost $115,000 off the lot. So, but what they tell you is, well, yeah, it's $115,000 for this new Hummer EV, but the federal government will give you $15,000 tax credit, so it's really only $100,000. So, but who can afford a $100,000 Hummer EV? Rich people, right? And who's paying for the $15,000 tax credit that the Biden-Harris tester regime is giving out to the rich people that can afford a $100,000 Hummer EV? You and me. Every time we go to the grocery store and we get hit with some massive grocery bill for a couple of items, we're paying for the $15,000 per Hummer EV electric vehicle tax credit put forth by the Democrats. So I bring that up because in Aaron Flint's piece on Montana Talks, he talks about how working class men and women are being subsidized, are being asked to subsidize the wealthy white guys in California who are benefiting from the Biden-Harris tester policies of forcing you and me to pay for some rich person's Hummer EV or Tesla EV or what have you. And then let's talk about the railroads. The railroader jobs have been cut because there's no more coal being transported, because the Harris tester mindset is hate coal, hate fossil fuels, hate American energy. Let's all do windmills and solar panels. By the way, speaking of solar panels, there's this incredible thing going on right now with China. I read this huge report. I think it was from the Wall. No, was it? No, it was actually Foreign Affairs as well. Because China's overproduction, over industrial capacity, is actually causing issues in foreign affairs, and countries are getting very upset at China because China has this massive industrial capacity. Check this out. China today is producing 2 times as many solar panels as the world can use. And so, and this, there was this piece in Foreign Affairs that talks about why is China's industrial capacity so massive like this, and it's obviously it's causing disruptions in the global economy. It's causing issues in international affairs, et cetera, et cetera. And the reason is because it's a centralized economy. They have price controls there, just like Kamala Harris wants to do here. It is an economy completely controlled by the state, and this communist ideology is obsessed with production capacity. They don't care about consumption. All they care about is production capacity, and so they've had. And so what will happen is Beijing will put forth these policies saying, "Hey, we have a national strategic initiative to produce solar panels," and so then all these local commies then do these off the book financing transactions, which is also causing a big financial potential for a big financial crisis. But they do off the books financing, and all these local government commie officials then put all this money into solar panel factories, and you end up with this massive industrial overcapacity you've got now, where China's producing every year twice as many solar panels as the entire world will use and consume. And it's just causing a lot of problems. But you've got that type of a thing going on worldwide. And then, of course, you've got here in the United States, Democrats destroying the timber industry, the auto industry, the railroader jobs. They want to defund the police. Teachers are losing their jobs because they were forced to do mandates and vaccine mandates. They didn't want to. On and on and on and on. Got some good messages here I'm going to read, but I want to go to Bill in Billings. First up, Bill, thanks for calling.
Well, good morning there. I just wanted to mention, anybody who's planning on voting for Tim Sheehy, please get out and get a yard sign and put them up. You already know how you're planning to vote, but the people that are on the fence or really aren't paying too much attention, I really truly believe they start seeing a lot of Sheehy yard signs, and it's going to affect some voters. Now, in Billings, in the 1200 block of Grand Avenue, there's a little strip mall, and that's where Sheehy's headquarters is. And if you stop in, they'll give you the sign and the little wire thing to stick it in the ground with. There's no charge for it. And I really think it's going to help sway some of those people that really don't pay much attention to politics.
Well said. Thank you so much, Bill. And I agree, and I think people ought to get out there too. Yeah, it's 12th and Grand here in Billings. You can go get those yard signs. I kind of view the yard signs as similar to the way I view, you know, conservative, quote-unquote conservative protests to the extent. I mean, conservatives don't really protest. We'll do rallies and stuff, but like the trucker freedom rally that happened here in Montana during COVID, I always thought that what was so cool about that was just the message it sent to other citizens that you're not alone. You're not the only one that thinks this COVID insanity is absolutely absurd and unconstitutional and illegal and a violation of human rights and everything else. No, you're not. Here's thousands and thousands of Montanans that agree, and we're out rallying for freedom. It's called a freedom rally. Same with these yard signs. I've got a Sheehy yard sign up in my yard, actually. In fact, and I even posted pictures of my Sheehy yard sign in my yard on social media, where you can find me at LectureFan, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, you name it, LCTRFAN if you want more. We'll be right back.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
If they ever got a hold of the Senate, they would eliminate the filibuster, they would do court packing, and they'd probably give
you know, they'd probably give statehood to D.C. and Puerto Rico because that's all the Democrats ever care about. You really want to see the corporate tax rate, the largest tax increase in American history, you know, raising the corporate tax rate, raising the tax on stock buybacks, raising big companies' corporate taxes, small business taxes, taxes on income and in each individual company where they operate rather than on their global profits overall, going with a global minimum tax to match what the rest of the world is doing and doubling that rate. And that's insane.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
You know, this is getting out of control. Our government is sinking $1 trillion in debt every 100 days. That's right, $1 trillion every 100 days. Do you want to bail the government out of debt? I didn't think so. I know I sure don't. This is Linda, and when I worry about the national debt, I turn to safe haven assets like gold and silver. And that's why we partnered with the highest rated gold company, Goldco. They have earned over 5,000 five-star reviews from tens of thousands of happy customers who diversified their savings with gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering you up to 8 years in free IRA fees plus 8% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, bonus silver, free gold, and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Safeguard your money with physical gold and silver before it's too late. That's what I did. Call 855-815-GOLD, 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There are very unrealistic views of regulations and regulators out there. On one end of the spectrum is what I call the myth of the benevolent regulator, the person who is fair, reasonable, and guides us to better outcomes. At the other extreme is the view of regulation akin to a pair of handcuffs that need to be cut to allow the economy to grow. But one thing is evident no matter what your point of view is, and that is that regulation is everywhere. And so perhaps it's time to acknowledge that to tackle a different problem, namely, how can we make it work better? One standard approach to regulation is fire regulations for building construction and materials. Rules specify how thick drywall for walls and ceilings needs to be and how many nails used to attach it. Then every structure must be inspected to verify compliance, often causing delays. Better to require a result, such as resisting burning, say, for 2 hours. A mass-produced product could be tested for compliance and used inspection-free thereafter. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the ZipRecruiter.com/free. To try ZipRecruiter for free, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks. I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thank you for talking.
For more, underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble. That's Noble with a K. Let me get through some of these messages. Andy in Whitefish said, missed yesterday's show, forgot my earbuds, but won't make that mistake twice. Thanks for everything you guys do. I truly appreciate it. Well, thank you, Andy. Evan in Belt says, David, as morbid as it may sound, when I was in uniform, the mission of our armed forces was to seek, kill, and destroy. Unfortunately, under our current administration, it has morphed into a woke culture where they are more worried about gender-affirming rights than protecting us from our enemies, and our career politicians have gaslighted us into believing the wars in the Middle East are about oil. That, too, is garbage. It is and always will be about destroying Israel. For those that don't know, they are God's chosen people, whether they want to believe it or not. Right, and what that means is God chose them to use them to convey his message to humanity, to send Jesus Christ to humanity. People always are confused about that. There had to be somebody that was chosen for God to convey his message to humanity, and it happened to be the Jewish people. Evan goes on, and woe to any nation who turns their back on them. Sadly, we are as a nation teetering on just that. 100% agree, Evan in Belt. Great message. Bob in Columbus says, good morning. I agree with helping your neighbor, but then again, it depends on the neighbor. LOL. That's funny, Bob. Got a message here from Jeff in Victor. Jeff in Victor says, why don't minorities sue the slave owners instead of reparations? Also, if these liberal politicians truly believe in equity, we might believe them if they sold their mansions and gave it all away to... Also, we might believe them on global warming if they stopped pumping out CO2 emissions all day, every day. Jeff and Victor goes on, supposedly, equity is everyone ending up the same. That means no one is rich and everyone is equally poor. That's exactly right, Jeff and Victor. Well said. Classic, classic communism. Everybody's equal. Yeah, equally poor. Other than, of course, the rulers. That's how it works. Randy and Fishtail says, so according to Goose, the Jews are the problem. They run the world. Please don't give up the platform for anti-Semites. Thank you, Randy and Fishtail. Appreciate that. Yeah, I was not down with the anti-Jew-hater comments that we got there, but the rest of the call I was down with. By the way, if folks don't know millionvoices.org, Aaron Flint's got a story up on Montana Talks about this with the link to this. There's actually, you talk about, we got that one call about the yard signs, talking about how folks get your Tim Sheehy yard signs, put your Tim Sheehy yard signs in your yard. And I've got my Tim Sheehy, and I don't think yard signs are the end all be all. I think they matter though. You know, the smart people in the political world, I think they kind of look down on yard signs. It's all about you know, digital and TV advertising. I don't know. I'm not a professional, you know, political campaigner, political analyst. Maybe I'm a professional political analyst. I'm not a professional political consultant or campaigner. So I don't really know, you know, how effective yards, so you're spending money on yard signs and getting people yard signs is compared to a TV. I really have no idea. But I think they matter in the same way that it simply sends a message to people that they're not alone. And there's lots of us that support Tim Sheehy. Seriously support Tim Sheehy. By the way, he was just in Lewistown yesterday. Absolutely packed the house. Aaron Flint retweeted it commenting, something big is going on in Montana. And I agree. There is something big going on. I could not believe the size of that crowd and the amount of energy that Tim Sheehy had in Lewistown. And here's the thing. Everybody that gets to talk to Tim Sheehy, that gets to meet him, that gets to talk to him face to face, every single person comes away so impressed with how genuine he is, with how good of a guy he is, with how smart he is, with how courageous he is. But anyways, millionvoices.org has the candidate fact sheet for Tim Sheehy and John Tester. There's a whole bunch of issues on here. Don't just get your yard sign, folks. Also, get the fact sheet, print it out or screenshot it, and send it around. There's very important information in this. We'll get to it next.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Need help with your finances and thinking about hiring a financial planner for some guidance? Well, it's important to vet advisors to make sure their pay structure reflects your needs. If you're considering a particular one, you have to ask questions like how do they arrive at their fee and what motivates them to charge the way they do. Many advisors base their pay on a percentage of assets under management. If you want to hire an advisor for both financial planning and investment management, you might encounter a hybrid fee structure. That means you'll pay a percentage for portfolio management plus a flat or hourly rate for financial planning. In recent years, some advisors have adopted subscription pricing that offers tiers of ongoing service with different monthly or annual retainer fees. Other popular options include charging an hourly fee or flat per project fee. You need to figure out what type of financial advisor will offer the right service along with a fair price. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.